was Morocco, then Ethiopia, Venezuela, Czechoslovakia, Italy, Israel, Greece, Christian Pavilion, United Nations, Indians of Canada. And all of those pavilions would be facing onto the city of Montreal too, so I'm not sure if you've seen some of the images, but that it shows the kind of skyline of Montreal looking quite spectacular too. Okay, is everybody warmed up?
I'm Monica Kingagnon, and that audio clip is of me on the Expo 67 Islands touring a group of architecture students on the site. My connection to Expo 67 is both personal and academic. My father, artist Charles Gagnon, designed the Christian Pavilion at Expo 67. I inherited boxes of Expo-related material, and this led to my own research on Expo's multi-screen cinema. And in a way, I became more knowledgeable about Expo 67 than I ever imagined. I'm now co-curating an exhibition of new contemporary art inspired by Expo 67 that opens at the Musée d'Art Contemporain on June 21st. It features new works by 19 contemporary artists, each reimagining elements of Expo 67. This Thinking Out Loud miniseries is about Expo 67, about its elusive archives, the artworks that innovate and experiment with the original event, about the designer of the Expo 67 logo, as well as some nostalgia to jog your memory about this iconic World's Fair. In this episode, I speak to my co-curator, head of exhibitions, Leslie Johnstone, from the Musée d'Art Contemporain, Montreal, about our exhibition, the works of art, and of course, Expo 67 itself. Over the last year, Leslie and I have had many of these kinds of conversations about the progression of the artist's works, about how we could connect artists to archivists, archival materials, and artifacts that would help supplement their research and creative process. I'm here with Leslie Johnstone, and we've been working on this exhibition for, I think it's almost a year and a half now. So I thought we could maybe begin by just talking about how this exhibition came about.
We started talking about doing an exhibition on Expo 67 for the 50th anniversary about 5 years ago at the Musée, and I was asked to develop a project. And originally I've worked at the Canadian Centre for Architecture for some time and had been focusing on the architecture, the very innovative architecture that was developed at Expo 67. And then I came across the work that you've been doing on Cinema Expo 67, and that completely changed my own thinking about what the exhibition could be. And we started to work together. And as we began to sort of talk around what would be interesting to do, we decided not to focus specifically on the multi-screen projects or only on the multi-screen films that were at Expo 67, but more to invite artists to respond to specific aspects of Expo 67.
That quality of asking artists to engage with archives has been fascinating for me to watch happen. The 16 artists that are producing new works for the show, what is interesting about them is that they were not old enough to be at Expo 67. So in other words, they are coming after the fact and are really drawing on their imagination of, you know, what is relevant about Expo 67 and drawing from photographic documentation, personal stories, newspapers and articles that came from the period, as well as film archives themselves.
Often when you curate an exhibition, artists will be working on new works. And if it's a group exhibition, you'll include new works that may be tied to a thematic or not. Or else if it's a solo exhibition, then you sort of develop with the artist a grouping of works that makes sense. And in this case, we started from scratch and all the artists started from scratch. And so when we invited them, it was because we had a intuition that there would be something specific in Expo 67 that they would respond to. They were all chosen because we had an intuition that something that they would respond in a specific way to Expo 67. But it's a really new way of working for us at the MAC in that it's asking them to make a work about something. It's fitting into an exhibition without it being totally prescriptive.
We've said from the very beginning, we can't wait to see our exhibition.
That's right.
And we've said that for a year and a half, right? So now it's getting closer. One thing I have to say that fascinated me about the process itself was once we had identified a range of artists, that there were, in fact, artists that were already working on aspects of Expo 67. So Althea Thauberger, for example, had been doing work with the People Tree and had been in touch with the daughter of the architect who had designed Katimovic in the Canada Pavilion. In terms of the artists as well, it was kind of startling to find out that Christabel Stewart's mother, who was the subject of a CBC documentary back in 1967, and in some ways one of the reasons why we had invited her to participate, that her mom, Serafine, had actually been asked by the curators of the Indians of Canada Pavilion to donate her portrait to be contributed to the inside of the pavilion. And so that became a kind of point of departure for Christabel. But then there was also Cheryl Sim, who, when we had asked her to come on board and consider contributing as well, had said that her parents had honeymooned at Expo 67. And in fact, they had this beautiful scrapbook that were images of them on the Expo 67 site, as well as some of the official postcards.
Even if most of the artists or all of the artists were born or didn't go to Expo 67, once we mentioned to them that we were working, their eyes lit up and they began to sort of, you know, spin off in all kinds of directions about projects.
I'm wondering what kind of resonances you think that Expo 67 has for a current generation now. What is the relevance of bringing Expo 67 at its 50th anniversary into public consciousness?
Expo 67 was unbelievable in that the kind of freedom that gave to architects and filmmakers and designers.
But I guess it was also, if we think socially and politically, it probably was this wild moment where there was this kind of explosion at every level of all kinds of standards or status quo that was occurring socially.
The largest World's Fair ever, Expo 67, the International Twin Island Wonderland, is ready for its gala opening ceremonies.
Can you tell me if you have any personal connections or specific interests in Expo 67 itself? You were saying that if you were living in Montreal, in the 1960s or afterwards, that there would always be some kind of connection back to Expo 67. What are yours?
I have very little. I actually lived in Washington, in Washington, D.C. in 1967. I spent half a day on the site with my family, and all I can remember is going through the U.S. pavilion on the mini rail. However, my husband spent every day. He was 13 at the time, and he, like many people we run across in Montreal, spent every single day at Expo 67.
I taught a course about a year and a half ago now. It was an undergraduate course, which was on the Expo 67 films, which was really exciting to teach. And one of the exercises that the students had to undertake was find a person who had been at Expo 67 and interview them. All of them panicked when, you know, on the first day of class when they saw this assignment. They said, "I don't know anybody who's been to Expo 67. And then gradually as the course went on, they would come in and say, "You know, here's a photo of my dad at 6 years old in front of the Italian pavilion." And everybody managed to find somebody that was somehow connected to Expo 67. It is a little bit frightening, I think, especially post-Trump era of November, that we've found a kind of much more conservative environment that's really guided in some ways by social media, the impact of social media. And also the way in which algorithmic culture, or the way that we're engaged with our screens through cell phones or through the internet more broadly, have created new forms of subjectivity that are in fact really tied to consumption and much more, let's say, template ways of presenting the self. And I think that the 60s, thinking back to the 60s now and reading about the 60s, it was a really wild time in which it really was the breaking away from the conventions of gender roles.
We're also in a direct line with this idea of the spectacle, which was what Expo 67 was in Montreal. That's, you know, much of our urban space has become a spectacle space. And so that fact, that lineage in a way that is also interesting for the musée.
One of our responsibilities as curators has been the responsibility to the nostalgia of Expo 67. I remember telling you at one point that I was concerned about visitors to the museum who would come with certain types of desires for evoking Expo 67 in a much more material and tangible way.
Yeah, I think it's, you and I had to figure out from the beginning why a museum of contemporary art would be doing an exhibition on Expo 67. I think in a way, it's also the way that the exhibition's laid out at this point. We start with four works that actually do give you a sense of Expo. So the first one being Cheryl Sims' project, in which she reinterprets the theme song. And David Ross's film of the islands themselves, done with a drone. And then two archival-based films, Phil Hoffman's and Jacqueline, that both show, particularly Phil Hoffman and Eva Koltz's film, that both show Expo 67 at that time.
You're referring to Jacqueline Huang Nguyen's film, 1967, A People Kind of Place.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the films that I still adore and could still watch over and over again is Graham Ferguson's Polar Life. And part of it is the complexity between the different screens themselves, or what we would call spatial montage, the editing that happens and the relationship between the three different screens. So when you think about the theater itself, which was 11 screens in a circle with an audience that was sitting on a turntable in the middle and basically turning from right to left in front of the screens. It's kind of astonishing to think that you would even imagine making something like that.
And we're recreating it in a reduced version on three screens.
I'm excited to see, like you, the ensemble of the works together. In some ways, we have no idea what they're going to look like side by side. But I think our investment as researchers, too, has had to adjust over, I guess it's like 10 or 11 years that we've been doing work on Expo 67, and has really gone into the kind of the minutia of the traces that have been left in the archives themselves. So it's fascinating to think and see what the artists are going to do with these little bits and pieces, ephemera, reimagining things, points of departure that have been in the original materials, but then creating them into something else. Well, I think the intriguing part of the exhibition will be that we're going to be able to expect multiple generations of viewers and listeners that are going to be coming into the exhibition itself. So there will be some who will have been at Expo 67 themselves and have, you know, really distinct photographic memory of what a pavilion was like. And then we'll have, I'm sure, younger generations of viewers also, or visitors that kind of heard about Expo 67 but don't really know very much about it. My name is Monica Kin-Gagnon. I'm a professor in the Department of Communication Studies at Concordia University. I'm also the co-director with Jeannine Marchessault of York University of the research group Cinema Expo 67.
I'm Leslie Johnston. I'm head of exhibitions and education at the Musée d'Art Contemporain, and I am also co-curator with Monica Gagnon of our upcoming exhibition In Search of Expo 67. This is an exhibition that marks the 50th anniversary of Expo 67. It includes 19 works by contemporary Quebec and Canadian artists who have been invited to create works that are inspired by specific aspects of Expo 67 that we hope will resonate with the contemporary public.
It's expected that some 35 million people will come to the exposition.
Next time, we'll talk design with Professor Martin Racine, author of Julien Hébert, Fondateur du Design Moderne au Québec, an associate professor in design and computation arts here at Concordia University.
This podcast was created and produced by the Thinking Out Loud team at Concordia University. It previews the upcoming exhibition at the Musée d'Art Contemporain de Montréal. Opening June 21st, In Search of Expo 67 will offer visitors new perspectives on some of the most innovative and experimental aspects of the Montreal World's Fair. The exhibition is made possible in part by funding from Concordia's Faculty of Fine Arts and its Office of the Vice President of Research and Graduate Studies. For more Thinking Out Loud, check out our website, concordia.ca/TOL.